Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the first reading from this weekend's readings, we have one of the greatest passages of all of sacred scripture. From the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31 through 34. Scripture scholars refer to this piece of sacred scripture as the gospel before the gospels, because it's the most sublime teaching in all of the Old Testament. Now, we have to appreciate the context in which this passage of scripture is set in. Right now, the prophet Jeremiah is addressing the Israelites who are in captivity. They are in slavery in Babylon. Remember last week, we learned from the book of Chronicles that the Israelites, due to their own spiritual and moral complacency, made themselves weak and susceptible to attack. And they were. They were attacked and conquered by the Babylonians, and then taken into slavery in Babylon, which is present-day Iraq. Yet, after a number of years in slavery, now Jeremiah the prophet addresses the Israelites with this prophecy of hope. Listen now. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Now, this is a monumental and radically new covenant, unlike any other covenant before, because it is now intrinsic upon the Israelites. This covenant is going to be written on their hearts, and therefore it's going to be part of their own identity, their own essence, their makeup. Now, we have to understand and realize is that God made several covenants with the Israelites prior to this one. He made the covenant with Abraham, and in this covenant, he promises Abraham that Abraham's descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that his descendants would truly be God's chosen people. With the covenant with Moses, God gives the Israelites the law and the Torah, instruction to help them live lives that are faithful to God's teaching. In the covenant that God has with David, God promises David that from his lineage would come the Messiah to save all of Israel, including the world. Yet all these covenants were extrinsic. They were external to the Israelites. These covenants were written on tablets. They were made through animal sacrifices, or God gave them to prophets to then hand down to the people through oral tradition and teaching. All these covenants were external to the people. They were not internalized by the Israelites. The Israelites did not see that their identity came from these covenants. And therefore, after a while, the Israelites no longer followed these covenants or the laws that were associated with them. And that's how they wandered into trouble. I think a good analogy to help us understand this is the federal income tax and our obligation to pay it. Now, we all know that we are obliged to pay the federal income tax. And the money that is generated from this tax goes to pay for necessary programs like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and the military. These are all things that are necessary for the vitality of our country. Yet at the same time, nobody likes paying these taxes. Now, when we first pay the taxes, we begin to understand the laws. And then after a while, some, not all, but some people begin to play fast and loose with the laws. They become very aggressive in how they identify their deductions or their business expenses, so as to minimize the amount that they have to pay in federal income tax. See, the same thing now holds true with what the Israelites were doing. Time and time again, they would establish these covenants with God. And from these covenants came laws that taught the Israelites how to live their lives so as to be faithful to God. And yet the problem was that the Israelites did not internalize these laws. They didn't allow these laws to shape their own identity, informing them as God's chosen people. In doing so, the Israelites began to modify, manipulate, and undermine these laws so as to adopt these laws to their lives and their lifestyles, instead of adopting their own lives and lifestyles to the laws. And see, that's where the Israelites got into big, big trouble. And that's why God says, they broke my covenants, and I had to show myself their master. See, now God understands this isn't working out. God begins to say to himself, I have established covenant after covenant, and they continually break them. And so this just is not working. And so God does something that is incredibly radical, something that has never been done before. But this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will place my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. What's the implication? Now the law becomes part of who we are. It becomes part of our own identity. Better yet, if we are to deny God's law, then we will essentially deny who we truly are. Now, when does this begin? When does the law truly begin to be written on our hearts? With Jesus Christ entering into this world. I think it's important for us to turn to St. Anselm because he gives us valuable insight when reflecting upon this passage from Scripture. St. Anselm writes, when Jesus Christ comes into this world, now God has obtained the human heart, and now the human heart has changed forevermore. And is that so true? When Jesus comes into this world, he is born, just like you and I. He takes on our own flesh, and he takes on our own human heart. And from that moment forward, now Jesus Christ has changed the human heart so as to accommodate the law, so that now, yes, the law of God can be written on our hearts. St. Anselm continues, and he says, what is truly written on our hearts is this, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What this really means is that now we have become a possession of God. Now we truly are a precious gift from God. Recall at the very beginning of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, God calling Jeremiah into discipleship. What does he say to Jeremiah? Chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you, a prophet, to all the nations. My friends, that is the level of intimacy that God desires for each and every one of us. That God knows us before he's even formed us in the womb. That he has dedicated us before we have even been born. Dedicated us to be disciples of his only Son. My friends, what we have to understand is our God is a God who isn't some far-off, distant figure, wishing only to be on the periphery, not wanting to be involved in our daily lives. Instead, our God desires to be at the very center of our life. And that's why he writes his law upon our hearts, so that now it becomes part of our identity. Our relationship with God makes us who we are. And so, what's our response to this? Well, if we truly believe that we are a precious gift from God, then we must live our lives as to be a precious gift to God. What's then our natural inclination? To live the person that God intended or created us to be. I often give you that famous quote from St. Irenaeus, God is glorified when the human being is fully alive. Well, when are we fully alive? When we are being the person that God intended or created us to be, rather than the person that our society or our culture tells us or dictates for us to be. See, then we are truly recognizing that we are a precious gift from God, and now we are living as a precious gift to God. Yet what's important here, and something that we cannot forget, that we have to now nurture the gift of ourselves to God in order for us to continue to grow. How do we do that? Through the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the best way in which we can always nurture that gift of ourselves to God. Through the Eucharist, we receive first God's word and wisdom in order to instruct us how to live our lives. Second, we receive Christ's precious body and blood. And from that precious gift of his body and blood, we receive the grace to continue to live a life of discipleship. Even amidst hardship, the body and blood of Jesus Christ becomes the fuel for the engine of our soul to remain as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, to go out and be a living witness to the gospel. The Eucharist reaffirms our identity, and it grounds us in who we are in relationship to God. The Eucharist continually reestablishes our sense of gift, that we truly are a precious gift from God, and the Eucharist gives us strength to continually live out a daily life so as to be a precious gift to God in this world and for others. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. My friends, the law is now written upon our hearts. We know exactly who we are. Our identity comes from our relationship with God, because we are God's chosen possession. My friends, I strongly encourage you, please take some time this week to read and pray over the first reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. This is truly a profound passage of Scripture that has shaped our church throughout the centuries. It truly is the gospel before the gospels. We only have one more week of Lent before we enter into Holy Week. Take some time and read and pray over this beautiful passage of Scripture that forms and reaffirms our identity in who we are in relationship to God. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.